Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. It is Sunday, May the 10th, 2015. I'm very grateful to be with you. Very, very, very grateful. I'm grateful you tuned in. Your questions, your comments, all of this is very, very important to me. And if I can in any way help any of you, that's what this is all about. So I don't want you to consider when I'm saying the last word. I just am offering suggestions, words to the wise, as it were. And I'm very grateful that so many of you listen and give me that opportunity to share. I want to remind you that this radio program... This satsang was a radio program, actually still is, in certain ways, goes out to the world through radio, is made available by our sponsors. It is only through your sponsorship that you're hearing these words in this radio program, this satsang, this everything, and I hope that you understand that and you will join and help us by becoming a sponsor. Our mystery donor who sponsors all of this will match your donations dollar for dollar if you become a new sponsor. And those of you who are sponsors, he will match your donation if you up your donation, your sponsorship to help sustain the radio program. He's very interesting person. What a turnaround. I don't know what I said that made him so happy, but... who knows? You never know. You plug along here and you just never know. Anyway, become a sponsor, okay? This will really help. Okay, let's get into the questions for this beautiful day. Why is it so hard to work upon yourself and walk the path? I've tried. I am losing faith in myself and in the path. Edward from Los Angeles. Edward, I understand what you might be saying, what you might be going through here. I watch my students lose it all the time. They lose it, they come back, they lose it, they come back. They play this game. They dip their heads too far into the world. And then the unconscious starts playing out. A lot of the problem, Edward, is the whole idea that we live unconsciously through our unconscious mind. And because I live out of my unconscious most of the time, I am placating my DNA and my genetics for the most part and living by them. I am not living in the heart of the matter and the soul of my being. I'm just living to get by, to get what I want and survive. Believe it or not, what it's really all about for people, Edward, is they just want to survive death. They want to... well, have death be good to them or avoid it entirely. And because that is such a big deal in people's minds and their adorations and the way they live, they make it very difficult for life to be anything else other than a hardship. So you say, why is it so hard to walk the path? It's hard because the path is not something the mind can recognize. There are no rules to the path. The path is either you're on it or you're not. You're either watching your breathing and you're starting to feel the birth of something new inside you, your heart. You're starting to realize that the human heart is full of poppycock and belittling attitudes towards yourself and others, and you're starting to let that go ever so slightly, you're starting to realize the bigger picture here. But most of us are not into that. Most of us are not living from that. Most of us are just living our life according to the manner of our desires, our ambition, and our pride. So we're not going very far, and we don't seek to go very far. Going further with our life and delving into the depths of our life takes what I call horsepower. You have to want love more than wanting what you think is love. You have to want love more than wanting to be loved. All of those things has to take place. Now, not many people can do that because they're all emotional. So here's the answer to your question. You can't get there through emotionality. You say you're losing faith in yourself and the path. Well, good, because whoever this self is, and I'm going to tell you it's Edward, he can't get you there. Edward can't get you there, Ed. Can't do it. You can't change an apple into a watermelon or a Ferrari. It ain't gonna happen. And when you are trying to change him and you're trying to make him happy at the same time trying to find the way within you, you're going to cause great hardship upon yourself. You have to learn to let Edward be Edward, but you have to go somewhere else, to something else, into something else, something beyond your own, shall we say, human credibility. And if you can do that, which you can change many aspects of your life, and many things in your life will change. But this takes practice. And if you're doing this practice with the motive of getting something out of it, if you're the type of person that needs a carrot to make you do anything, you have to have that promise of, if you do this, you'll get that. If you don't do that, this good thing's going to happen. If that's the kind of person you are, you're never going to make it. Not only in the practice, but in your life. It ain't going to happen. It just ain't going to happen. So you have to find something beyond the beyond, as I like to say. You have to find something that is beyond the ideas and ideals of what you want. The practice is not here to serve your human life. The spiritual practice is here to take you beyond the human, to take you beyond the idea of right and wrong and good and bad, to take you beyond everything, beyond the beyond, as the Buddha said. But it can't do that if you're continually allowing your mind to make you believe that there is a payoff for this practice. So, Edward, I'm going to give you another answer. You say, I'm losing faith in myself and the path. You have no practice. I can tell you that. It is intent that is very important in the beginning. What is your intent? If your intent is for an easier, better life, forget it. Go and listen to some motivational speaker. There are tons of them out there. Tons of them. And I'm sure there are many in the Los Angeles area you can connect with. But if you're going to go into the spiritual practice, you have to feel an intent that is different than just mere survival and wanting good things to happen to you. An easier life, which is what most people are looking for. You have to go deeper into a more profound place inside you that is beyond the concepts and the ideals of survival and the mechanism of luxury. You have to want love more than wanting what you believe love to be. It has to be a profound sense of the pull to life, to the meaning of life. This is not something that most of us have, or most of us care about, or most of us can deal with. What most people go through, what most people are living from, is passion, desire, ambition, pride, hence vanity. It's the hubris of our living. And most people never question that, because that's who they believe they are. Edward, you sound like that kind of person. They're a dime a billion. You have to do something different with yourself. I don't think, from what I hear here, that you're really geared for the path, the practice, the work, as Gurdjieff talked about it. You're not there. This may not be your lifetime. You need to go out maybe and eat, drink, and be merry and try to find happiness in and of the world. It's futile, but you'll get clobbered enough. Maybe in 100 or 200, maybe 1,000 lifetimes, where you'll go, you know what, I'm not doing this. I don't know why I'm not doing this, but I'm not doing this anymore. You don't sound to me like a person who is generous. And I don't think from what I've read from your email, that you have any sense of the profound in you, only the profane. So, losing faith is a common part of the practice. Everybody, from one time to another, loses it. But they don't lose it entirely where they're willing to just give up. You sound like, to me, a man that's willing to give up. That isn't going to help you. That isn't going to change anything either. Again, you have to really work upon yourself. If you don't, nothing will change in your life. Edward. Maybe it's time for you to try something else. Some more futility. There's nothing like it. And I guarantee you, in the end, it is the greatest teacher most people will know on this planet. Sad to say, futility. Please forgive me. Namaste. I've had a lot of Edwards in my life. And what they try to do is say to me, well, prove to me this is going to work. Prove to me that I'm on the right path. And people have odd ideas about this proof. Really odd, arrogant ideas. Like if they have more money, they think that they're doing something right and God is pleased with them. Really. And then there are others who think, well, I've lived this long, this longevity I have. I must be something special. Or they count how many people love them. They go on Facebook and count how many friends they have. And they think, you know, I got all these friends. I must be doing something right. Well, birds of a feather flock together. And the sign of popularity, I can tell you, just says that you're very much involved in a sick culture and society, and you yourself must be sick if you're popular. You think Jesus was popular? You think Buddha was popular? Do you? You're wrong if you think they were. They are very much hated. Buddha had to stay out of town for fear of being killed. His brother chased him all of his life to kill him because his brother felt that he defamed the family, betrayed them. It's insane what we think. Next question comes from John in Louisiana. I didn't know anyone lived in Louisiana. Anyway, what do I hear all day long yelling at me? It's in my head. Am I nuts? John. Honey, we're all nuts. I'm nuts. Everybody's nuts. We all hear those screams and cries and salutations from the ego. It's ego. It's vanity. It's hubris. It's the nutty part of us that wants things that it can't have. So don't worry about that. Don't even begin to worry about that. Don't even think about that. Go to the place inside you where the still small voice exists, if you can. Most people are involved in a conversation in this lifetime that merely has things to say to us and talks about the vanity, the pride, the arrogance, the foolishness of human beings. We live in a conversation with our unconscious mind, with the collective unconscious, and these conversations don't help us at all. They don't even bring about awakening in any way, shape, or form. Our conversations keep us cemented to fear and hate and anger. So it's a very difficult thing to overcome. The yelling, the screaming, it isn't going to stop. You have to find that still small voice within you that goes beyond the thinking realm. Thinking is way, 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 way overpraised and overestimated. The more you think, the less you are. You lose your sense of being when you and I think. When we think, we are doing nothing but being arrogant. Thinking only shows that I'm more devoted to my misery than I am to my awakening. And the more I think and the more I think about things, the less available I am to my heart. And when I'm not available to my heart, there's very little for me to live for and live in. So I just go on and on and on, living in hate and fear and never changing anything in my life. All I do is re-record everything over and over and over again, thinking I'm listening to a new song, a new dance. But what I'm doing is I'm just becoming more and more ensconced in what it is that possesses me, which is my emotionality. John, what can I say to you? You have to be willing to give all this up. There has to be a sense of humility. And if there's no sense of humility within you about your life, about who you are, about what you are, all you can do is trade one thought for another. You have this thought and somebody says, no, this is a better thought. So then you go and try to adopt that. But in the end, you're going to be subject to your emotionality, your low self-esteem, and all the fears that you have, because life can't be thought. Life must be caught. You catch life in the act of love. You catch life in the act of forgiveness. You catch life in the act of unconscionable joy and generosity. And if you can't catch it there, you're not going to catch it anywhere else. I guarantee you, it ain't going to happen. So you can think all that you want to think and believe all that you want to believe from the voices that are telling you rationally in your mind that hate is more powerful than love. But as the Buddha said so aptly, hate never yet dispelled hate. Only love dispels hate. This is a true statement. I can't convince you of it. I can't make you believe it. All I can do is present it to you. And this hate goes on and on and on. And if I try to take it away from you in any way, shape, or form, then I'm going to get a full-on fight. I'm going to fight you and fight you and fight you if you do that to me, because my hate is my self-righteousness. If I'm the average person, if I'm that pedestrian mentality, hate is my pride, my self-righteousness, and everything that I live for. You got to ask yourself, John, what are you living for? Who is this person named John? He is going to eventually disappear. His body will fall to the earth. But what part of you will live on? Everybody believes they're going to live on in some way. Some people believe you live on in heaven. Some people in hell. Some people believe that you transmigrate into other things. Some people say you reincarnate. Everybody has their opinion. But I think the wisest thing is to live as though every moment were your last. And you were going to answer to these last moments, whatever you are doing. And are you going to do them out of love? Or are you going to do them out of obligation? Or are you going to do them out of selfishness? Or are you going to do them out of pride? Or are you going to do them out of righteousness? What are you going to do? The wise way to live it is to go into love and to let love live you. To sacrifice pride, self-righteousness, vengeance, unforgiveness for the sake of freedom, ultimate freedom in love, real freedom. That is the essence of it all. That is the meaning of it all. If you can do that, which you can, any one of us can, then something of the other shore will reach you. Your life will be different. You can't turn off the noise in your head. It will be there. What you can do is live beyond the noise that's in your head and disregard it. I always say to my students, if you were as a passive towards your thoughts as you are towards what I'm teaching you here, you would be enlightened by now. And they laugh. They think that's so funny, but they know it's true. You have the capacity for awakening. Why not awaken? There's no reason not to. I hope that serves you well. Please forgive me. Namaste. Great question. Really good question. Last question by Randall. He does not tell me where he lives either. Why is life hard for some of us and easy for others? Is it their karma? Or are they exceptionally good people? What is it? Randall. Randall, it only appears that way. I have often wondered the same question when I was younger. I would watch people who were, forgive me for saying this, just basically selfish and evil. And they would get all this money and stuff. And life for them was carefree. They could travel and do whatever they wanted. And I used to watch this and wonder, what is that? I could, you know, barely afford a cheese sandwich. What's going on here? I used to wonder that too when I was younger. But as I grew more and more in what is called Tibetan pulsing, and I learned more and more about myself, I understood something. That the conditions of a person's life are not the criteria for their value as a person or their importance, and nor should they ever be regarded as how well a person is doing. When a person has more money than they know what to do with, or more money than you would know what to do with or whatever, and you envy them, it says more about you and me than it does them. Everybody has their hell to live with in a certain kind of way. And I know you wouldn't regard having lots of money, as you say here, as a point of hell. But it is. You never heard the Buddha or Jesus or Lao Tzu, the great three, as I call them, talking about how well off a person is as the proof of their spirituality or their goodness. Never. Quite the opposite. Jesus was adamant about those who trusted in riches and how poor they really were. And Buddha said the same thing. He gave up riches and wealth and power to become the Buddha. Lao Tzu said that the greatest riches in life was the Tao, the way life worked, and how we live in that. And I would agree with all three. It's none of my business what is going on in another person's life. It is none of my business. And if I want to make it my business and I want to make it a yardstick, if I want to make it something that says, well, they're a better person than me because they have more than me and they have an easier life than me, then so be it. I have seen very wealthy people deeply impoverished by their wealth. I have seen very poor people enriched by their poverty. It is a very interesting thing for me. I went to India and I saw great poverty there. And I am telling you without a shadow of a doubt, while there was great suffering in all of that, there was in many cases a simplicity about the person that was most extraordinary. These are things I will never forget. These are things that are game changers in a person's life. I don't think we're here to analyze others, to look at others and say, well, you have a better life than I do. That would be a very foolish thing to do. You and I have to learn how to chop wood and carry water. That it is for us to live our life in the karma we have and to live it without the expectation of being rewarded. Maybe there is a pony down there somewhere. You might find it. You might not. It just might be a hole full of poop, and you might never find it. The deal is, stop looking to the world for proof of your life. Start looking within and finding the meaning of your life. If you can do that, which any one of us could at any given moment, then something magnificent will happen. You will come into the greatest wealth there is, and that is the wealth of love. You've got to spend some time working on yourself, though. Don't compare yourself to other people. If you do that, you'll become vain and bitter, and you will never have anything that is truly beautiful in your life. Follow your life. Live in your life. Get to know it. If you do, if you follow your life and you get to know it, it will transform you. Thank you for your beautiful question, Randall. Please forgive me. Namaste. If you have a comment, a question, or something I might be of service to you, come to this website as often as you like. I hope you enjoy it with the TV programs and commentaries, podcasts, video casts, radio programs, as we used to call them now, satsang. Yeah. If you have a question up at the top of the page, you'll see contact. Just click on it and send me an email, just like these people did, and I'll be happy to answer your question. I'm out of here. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. Thank you for listening, and please forgive me, huh? Namaste.